Sorry I'm late. I had some technical difficulties.
You are good, my girl. Don't you even worry about it. I was filming some TikTok, so it worked out.
Love that. Of course. The TikTok queen.
Yo, we trying. We trying not to fail. That's what we trying to do right now.
How is it going? How are you?
Yo, I'm so good. How are you doing?
Good. Just, you know, in the summer, I guess last year you were in the house, but yeah. It just is all consuming. Like just watching the feeds really, and it feels like we're right there in the house, you know?
No, literally. I'm actually going to change my background so you see the back of the house instead of some shoes. Here we go. Oh, we're going to move over here instead.
Oh my gosh, how stunning.
It's our backyard. That was the best lighting. I guess we're going to go with shoes. Okay, that's fine. Or honestly, wait a second. No, I got it. Hold on. Come on here, Brittany. This is better.
Love it.
Brick. Brick wall, baby.
Oh my gosh. So Woo. How are you feeling? Like, I mean, you're watching for the first time since you've been in the house.
Yeah.
What's it like?
It's been very interesting. At one point I was like, Amir's in my bed. Why is Amir on my bed? Get out of my bed.
Oh, like, weird.
That is,
yeah.
Like that is my boat room bed. That is my place. Like it was so, it's been so interesting, like watching all of the house guests navigate through the season, but also the season's been so polar opposite to BB23 that it's just, it's kind of been like watching a new show this season only because it's just, it was so polar opposite and it is so polar opposite from our season and from the family that we created. But it's been interesting, like watching comps and me being like, wow, why couldn't they have had that comp last year? I actually think I would have done really well at that comp had it been last year. Like the one where you just got to hold the buttons and sit down. I would have been great at that comp. but no, it's been very, very different, but very interesting.
Yeah, it is really different. And it's kind of funny because I feel like last year everyone on BB Twitter was like, oh my gosh, we've turned a corner for Big Brother. Like this is going to set the tone for the rest of the season. So now we're going to see more seasons like this to then have something that is completely different.
Yep.
And I mean, I guess I'm curious. So usually in the past we've seen the casting sort of cast people in a very typecasted role.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself in any of these house guests?
I can see a little bit of myself in Brittany. I think with Brittany, they tried going with like the look of a Sarah Beth, but the personality of a me. But I don't really see myself amongst this cast, no. And I guess, honestly, the main reason why I would say that is just, I like to always be very positive and very lighthearted. And unfortunately, on this particular season, that's been something that's far and few between. And so in that light alone, and just in the personality that I like to bring to rooms, I don't see that this season now. But I also like there are so many people. Like, I don't see a lot of my BB23 cast, like, shown in this cast, if that makes sense. Like, we had so many great energies on BB23, and I don't see a lot of those energies present in this house as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I do agree. You are a very positive person. So it's actually a reason why I wanted to bring you back is because you've been very vocal on Twitter and other platforms about how disappointed you are in sort of the behavior of this season, which is very interesting coming from someone who is so positive. But I think that speaks to the volumes of like what's happening, that if Brittany is saying that this is like negative,
messed up, then it is.
Yeah, like it's really bad, because you do find like the light in a lot of situations, which is like something that's so great about you.
Thank you.
How are you feeling watching this happen?
You know, it's been very interesting because I usually am not one that is vocal. I'll be very honest with you. I'm not one to like call out people for things, or I'm not one to tweet things or things like that. But this season, I just almost felt like I've almost felt a responsibility because of the fact that like what these house guests are saying, like what I haven't wanted to happen is there is a perception that exists in the BB world that production is putting the cast members up to be saying everything they're doing, or production is instigating these situations, or production is the one putting them up to saying all these things. And that's just false. These people in the house are grown adults. They are making their own grown decisions. And what I don't want the fans to do is blame production for things that are just on the house guests. Like, if you're going to blame anybody for the house guest actions, you blame that house guest for their own words. You know what I'm saying? But there is a perception that production plays a role, and that's just completely false to me and false to everybody. But I just, if something is false and I see it false out there, I feel like I have to, not that I have to address it, but that I would like to, just so that you guys know what the truth is. Like, I remember there was one tweet that I responded to, and it was about the veto chips. Like, oh, there's no way Nicole and Taylor's chip could have really gotten picked because, oh, they must have fixed it. I'm like, nope. Every single veto ceremony, everyone's chips are in there. They always tell you that before every veto ceremony. Like, it's a fair game in that regard of, like, everything is there. And so, but in terms of watching it, it has been very disheartening to me. Because you can play the game of Big Brother without being rude and disrespectful and belittling other people and bullying other people. And just the behaviors and the language that has been used on this season has been appalling to watch as someone who is a fan of the game, as someone who made it her sole goal to not play the game like that, because you don't have to. Like, there were times, and I use this one all the time as an example, did I like Kylan in the house? No. Did I ever disrespect Kylan in the house? Absolutely not. You would have never seen it. You can dislike someone without being blatantly disrespectful. Now Kylan's one of my best friends coming out of the house, and I'm so beyond grateful for that friendship. But that is the one that I use because I just find it a comparison for this season. But they're literally just, and obviously this brings up Taylor, but like, they're literally just intimidated by Taylor's presence. And her energy and her compassion and her kindness and her confidence. They're intimidated by just Taylor being Taylor. They have not gotten to know her. They have not gotten to talk to her, learn anything about her. They've taken no time to be like, wow, Taylor is actually really cool. Taylor's actually really down to earth. They've judged a book by its cover and they've ran with it. That's what's been happening this season. And it has been very upsetting to watch. Because these are grown adults speaking this way. Like, it's not teenagers, it's not college kids. No, they're grown adults speaking this way. And they're choosing to do so, cognitively knowing what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's my point on that one. It doesn't need to be done. And I think there's a line that exists between personal and game. And I don't think that's a line you ever need to cross. And I think it's been hopped over this season. It's just been like there's a fence and you just broke down the fence and ran with it. So that, I guess that's my point on that one.
I think that is spot on. And I just talked about this. I actually interviewed Pooch, was really fun. But he brought up the point that, you know, I asked why no one was really talking with Taylor, why no one was talking game or personal or just talking to her at all. And he said that she was obviously a strong competitor. And so my follow-up question was then, why wouldn't you want to work with someone in the beginning who seems like a strong competitor? Sure, maybe you cut them down the line. You don't want to compete against them in the end.
Yeah, but why not align with them now?
But yeah, if you're right at the beginning and your first impression is, oh, they're going to be a strong competitor, I would think the play would be work with them now. Correct. Get to know them now, bring them into your corner now, because if they are a strong competitor and they're not on your side, that could be bad for you.
Correct.
What do you think about all these excuses or things that we're hearing about? Oh, well, I'm not working with Taylor because X, Y, Z. I mean, we saw Daniel on this last veto episode screaming at her because she's the reason that Paloma went home. She's bullying people. Where are they getting this from?
Their own minds. And that's the saddest part. I, you know what, honestly, what I think about all these excuses is that they're just that, they're excuses. And yesterday Pooch in particular tweeted something and I was not going to initially respond to it, but I was DM'd over 57 times by fans and people being like, Britt, did you see what Pooch tweeted? Are you able to respond? And I was like, you know what? I can respond in a respectful way to this. And so Pooch said something about the live, like something about like the live feeds don't show everything. And if you guys think the live feeds show it all, then you guys obviously don't know what's going on. And I respectfully told him, do not use the "we don't see everything" excuse as a way to validate your actions. Own up and apologize to your words. They are using different aspects of what's happening in the game to validate their own words instead of just owning up, right? We've only had one person in the BB house so far own up to the actions they've had towards Taylor, and that was Turner last night. Turner in that DR, and I was so proud of him for doing so, was the youngest cast member in this cast, sat in that DR and said, look, I'm going to admit to y'all, I've been part of the problem, but that ends now. He's the only one that's owned up to it. But right now, it is just excuses. It's just excuse after excuse because they've made up this narrative in the mind and they've ran with it. And they have just villainized Taylor from the moment she walked in the house, and they're going to run with that villainization. I don't even know if that's a word, but we're going to go with it. Even last night, Jasmine said it was Jasmine, Alyssa, Daniel, and Indy in the bathroom sitting on the ledge. And Jasmine goes, you know what hurt the most about the blind side was that Taylor knew about it and I didn't. They fixate on Taylor knowing about the blind side, not everybody else in the alliance knowing about it. Nah, they don't matter. Taylor knowing about the blind side was what struck a chord with all of them, because it meant that Taylor was playing the game and that people saw the goodness of Taylor coming forward. So I think the excuses are a bunch of baloney, to answer your question, frankly. And I think they're just a coverage for, they're just a cover for what they don't want to accept is actually happening in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad because you want to think that in the those first impressions, everyone sort of has an even playing field going into the game.
Yep.
I mean, that was part of the reason the cookout existed. That was Correct. Like the reason for BB 23 in general. I mean, we had a lot of diversity even outside of the cookout.
Correct.
With you, DX, like we had a lot of people there that were different. And, you know, I was excited for the premiere night to turn on the feeds right after and see people just getting to know each other. Of course, sussing out the competition.
Correct.
But just, you know, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? And starting to align at least on common interests at the very basic level. And it really felt like there was no even playing field from jump. I mean, It was night one. We saw it on the feeds. Taylor sitting alone, no one really talking to her. I'm curious, from someone who was in that position in the house, what is that first night like? What, like, why would that even be a possibility for someone with 16 people in the house to be sitting alone?
You know, I mean, I remember watching that first night on the feeds and I was immediately uncomfortable because even every conversation that Taylor would walk towards, that I'll walk away. And it's just so polar opposite from our season, was because the first night we didn't leave each other. Like, we were together until 4 a.m. together as a pact. Like, we were like, you're going to get sick of us before we leave this pact. And nobody wanted to leave because you didn't want to be the first one to leave the group. You couldn't be the first one to leave the group. So we were all talking. We had such a great first night. Now, I am semi-jealous they all got champagne on their first night, but we ain't going to talk about that because we never got it on our first day. We got it 2 weeks after the fact.
Oh
yeah. We didn't get champagne that first night. They said, BB23, you are not worth it. And we said, huh? Wait, what? We wanted to cheers. And we didn't get to, or I think they brought it like day seven or something, like one of Travis's last days they brought it. But regardless of that though, like we all were so excited to sit around that couch and just get to know one another. Because at the end of the day, out of tens of thousands of people that auditioned, we were the 16 that were chosen. So let's enjoy this one moment that we have together and let's just have fun. But also we did that every night though. Like every night from 7 p.m. on, it was family time. You wanted to talk game, you did that between the hours of 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. And then after that, it was game until like 12, and then 12 a.m. to whenever the hell you wanted to go to bed, you also talk game. That was my bedtime. I was not talking game past 12. I was like, nope, my brain don't work. I have nothing constructive to say. Peace out. But this season, it was like, it started off clicky. That's exactly how it happened. It started off clicky and people found their groups, didn't deviate from those groups. and then just made a decision on the spot that we weren't going to include Taylor, and the group's troubled. And that's exactly what happened this season. It was just very, I guess the best way that I can put it is high school.
Yeah.
From the jump. Tiffany said it was eighth grade. I would argue freshman year when you're trying to find your pack. But either way, it really don't help the situation. It was
very much like that.
So, I mean, that's why it happened was because when you have a season like ours, where we didn't want to leave each other because we wanted to continue to know each other, then you have this season where it was just clicks, and it still is clicks.
Yeah.
It still is. I mean, Taylor still has to play the alone card for the Alliance. It's still clicky.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about this, like, I definitely see a lot of my, like, lived experience in Taylor's experience in this Big Brother house. It's funny that Tiff said eighth grade. I had a very similar experience in seventh grade to what Taylor's experiencing. And that part where it just broke my heart, where she's, I think it was the veto episode, where obviously Daniel is screaming at her while she's standing there silent. And she's saying things like, I just can't, like, nothing I say is the right thing to say. And I Correct. Think we've all kind of had that experience in our life where we're talking to someone and it's like, you're not understanding what I'm saying, how I mean it. And you are mad at me. And it's,
and you're
like,
not going to either.
Yeah. You don't want to.
Yeah. You don't want to.
And it's so frustrating. And like, I felt so much empathy for her because I literally can like, feel like it took me back to like that place where I've been in that situation, and it's just heartbreaking to watch. But no one really knows, you weren't in the same situation obviously as Taylor because of this amazing cast that you were a part of.
Yeah.
But like, what would you do if you were in that spot in the house? Like, what can she do now?
I mean, not the great thing. I'm glad she's with the leftovers. That makes me feel really, really happy. I think that was just like God's magical way of bringing Taylor into something bigger, because she has a bigger purpose on Big Brother than being the victim that, or being the villain, not the victim, the villain that everybody sees her as. If I were in her place, I would have been, I mean, I just knowing myself, I mean, Taylor could only be as vocal as she wanted to be. I think I would have gone off a little bit more, just knowing myself and knowing how I would have handled things. But also, I can definitely empathize with that feeling of kind of being alone, because there were definitely times in the BB house where I did feel like that. In the fact of like, every week, you're the pawn, Britt. It's you. You're going up again. And like, after a while, it starts to lose the numbness, but it still sucks, because that just means at the end of the day that you are an expendable person who people don't care really goes on the block to fill the space, but you are expendable enough that if something happens, I'm sitting there. So it can be a really alone feeling sometimes in the block, especially when people don't know what the block feels like. Obviously nothing compared to the situation, but I can just empathize with that feeling of being alone. But with Taylor, I mean, I applaud her for how she handled it, because I don't know if I would have handled it with that much grace. I just, what they said and what they did, it was vile to watch. Like, it literally got my blood boiling. It was the same as you. It brought me back to when I was severely bullied my senior year of high school. Like, it brought me back to those days where people thought that they could speak to me one way and I didn't have enough confidence in myself to stand up for myself. But Brittany inside was like screaming and being like, get the words out of your mouth, Britt. It almost felt like that. But honestly, I don't know how I would have handled it. I think it would have had to be in the moment. I definitely would not have been handling anything with Daniel. I would have gone right back to Nicole, honestly. For me, that's what I would have done. I mean, Daniel was irrelevant. He wasn't even there for the situation and wanted to bring himself into a matter that didn't concern him. I would have gone right back to Nicole and be like, what happened? Why am I getting yelled at by your best friend in this house for doing something out of care for you? Like, that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. It's interesting, because here's my thing with the live feed argument. We don't see 100%. Sure. Fine. Whatever. They cut, whatever. There's that Twitter account that says like, oh, feeds were down 6% today. Whatever. So sure. We see 94% of what happens in the house. But even if we don't get the full context of certain situations, we still hear what people are saying. We still hear the things that people, like the words people use to describe Taylor. We watch that fight happen on the feeds. So my thing is like, sure, maybe we don't see the full context, but how does that defend the things that are still being said and being done?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. And it's so frustrating to like hear that. But then we see Amira there at the end go to, she was sitting with Jasmine, I think, who was just constantly rolling her eyes. And I think it was Daniel. And she was saying like, oh, I think Taylor really meant that. I didn't think she meant any like ill intent with that. What was Amira's motive there, kind of flipping her script, trying to defend Taylor? Do you think she was on to her public perception, or was she genuinely saying, oh no, it wasn't that?
You know, I've been thinking about the same thing, to be completely honest with you, because that was the first and the only time that Amira ever defended Taylor. And I think that was the moment for me where I was like, oh, Amira's human, but why now? I don't even have an explanation, honestly, because like the whole thing, and this is what I tell people on my lives all the time. I'm like, look, if you don't watch the live feeds, you think that Amira has been the defender the entire time. If you're just watching the show, Amira got the defender edit, but she hasn't been the defender. She's been instigating so much in the house, not as much as some people, but has been doing enough work. But then always claims, oh, I'm not the bully. I'm not the one doing it. I'm not the one being that person, but you are. But you have been. So I don't have an answer for that one in terms of why then. I do think it came out very human. I don't think she really realized it, but I think she was just like, look, that's not how Taylor meant it. Plain and simple. And it confused me because I was like, wait a second. Why are you now defending this girl that all you've done is talk trash about this whole season? Like, you've been with people, supporting people, not saying anything when people have been ripping her to shreds. Why now? I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very odd to me. Like, I don't have an explanation for that, but it didn't gain her any brownie points in my book. If that's what it was trying to do, it didn't. Because then the next day was just more of the same. So it's like, if you stand up for her one day and then you're trash talking her the next, they don't add up to me.
Yeah. It makes no sense. It's so weird. It almost makes it seem worse because it's like how easily you can just flip. Like, you're not just strong in your opinion in either direction. My question now is like, and I think about this a lot, and I think I've thought about this a lot in my life.
Yeah.
Do bullies know that they're bullies? Does Amira genuinely think that she's not doing anything wrong?
Yes. I think that Amira does. She said it multiple times on the feeds. I 100% believe that Amira does not think she's doing anything wrong. I 100% believe that I don't think any of them think they've done anything wrong, because if they thought they were doing something wrong, they would have stopped it. They would have listened to the words that came out of their mouth and stopped it. Even after Turner's ceremony, they're still going. There's some people are still going. Daniel, Nicole, Jasmine, Alyssa, Indy, Amira until she left. There are people that are still continuing it on. So obviously they haven't got the hint, right? I genuinely don't think they think they're doing anything wrong. I think that they have this narrative that they, like I said, they constructed about Taylor day one, and they've ran with it, and they've made that their truth, which is crazy to me that that is their truth. And I think it'll stay that way until they get out. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I want to transition a little to talk more about Taylor and how I just am so fascinated by the composure she's holding in that house.
I don't know how she's doing it.
I'm a crier. We know you're a crier as well. And
we can all say it. I know I cried on national television. You know your girl don't have a problem with crying. Thank you.
I would be losing it. Like, I genuinely, like, I would just be a shell of a person. And the way that she is not only like holding herself, but speaking to the people who are mean to her, speaking about the people who are mean to her on the feeds, talking to us, telling us not to be mad at Danielle, telling us not to be mad at these people. Like, I don't know how she, like, it feels like she's like a fake person, like not fake in like a personality sense, like not real. Like, she's just like a holographic person, because I am like, I could never do that.
I give her so many props. I really think, and this is why when people ask me why Taylor's my favorite in the season, I explain this exact reason. Is because she has had the most composure, the most compassion for people who have treated her so, so awfully in this game and personally as well. But she also just has the best rapport in terms of just how she acts, how she interacts with others. It is so impressive to watch Taylor maneuver throughout this house with everything that has been thrown at her. And I honestly give her a lot of props. And I was even talking about it to my mother the other day. I would have suffered in this house had I been Taylor, even if I hadn't been Taylor, in the environment that is divided in this BB24 house. I would have mentally cracked in this house. And my mom says it all the time. I was blessed to be on BB23 because that's where I was meant to be cast. This season, I don't know what I would have done. All I wished was that Taylor could have played our season with us. That's what I honestly wish. But now she's starting to get a foothold. So now I'm like, Taylor, go run this season, please. Thank you very much. Have fun. Go you. But she's acting like a champ. And she's truly one of the only ones that has been. And that's why I always say to people, when I talk about things on lives, they're like, Brittany, you don't like any of these cast members. I'm like, no, let me be clear. I personally, if I'm talking personal and game, personally, I do only like Taylor at the moment, because the other 15 have either bullied Taylor, belittled Taylor, and backstabbed Taylor, or they have been a bystander to the bullying, belittling, and backstabbing that has been happening to Taylor. And if you're a bystander, you're just as guilty in my book. Now, am I starting to personally like more people as the weeks go on? Yes, but you have to give me time, because I don't right that wrong immediately. Like Turner saying that in the DR about, I'm part of the problem, but now I'm going to be part of the solution. That's great. I want to see your actions for the next 2 weeks. Let me see those words be put into actions. I'm not going to forgive these people off the bat. What they've done to Taylor for the first 23 days of this game has been appalling. And if we just go and forgive them, then what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing to help them? And that also invalidates the 23 days of Taylor having to have the best composure of any BB23 house guest in the last 10 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's a tricky spot to be in, because like I said, there are people game wise that I'm loving watching. There are people personally wise that I'm starting to love watching, but the only person I'm there with 100% right now is Taylor. The rest of them, I got to have more time, because they got to prove more to me at this point, because Taylor right now has been working overtime in her composure. And I don't take that lightly, because she shouldn't have to be.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, how far do you think Taylor can get in the game with her current position, like amongst the other house guests?
I think she easily could make top six at this point. I think that once Taylor hits jury, which I definitely think is going to happen for her at this point, when she hits jury, I think that she's going to break out of this new show. I think that when jury hits, she's going to be a new girl. She's going to have her people. That will have meant that at that point, she has 3 weeks of this leftovers alliance. She's going to have her people. She's going to start developing closer relationships, and then she can start to roll. I just want to see Taylor in power. That's what I want. But I think that Taylor could easily make a top six, because in the leftovers alliance, if they get to seven, I don't know if it'll happen, but if they do, I don't think Taylor's the first to go in that group.
I agree. And I think you're right. It will get easier as hopefully we get out some of the other people giving her a hard time.
Correct.
It will just open up a more welcoming environment into the house. So yeah, I'm really curious what's going to happen there. And so we've seen the feeds. We know who the new HOH is.
Yes.
What do we think is going to happen now?
I think one of two things could happen this week. I think Monty and Power is smart. And I say that because Monty obviously is in a group now of three besties, which meant that if Monty and Joseph and Terrence went up on the block, the leftovers would not have had enough numbers. It would have been a tie, I think. Yes, it would have been a tie. So they needed, Monty or Joseph needed this HOH. They both needed it because they told Terrence ahead of time, join our besties if you get to. And that's exactly what he did. So I'm happy that Monty won it. I think one of two things is either going to happen this week. Sadly, Jasmine and Turner are not going up on the block because apparently Monty already promised them safety. I wanted Jasmine gone this week. That was my pick. Sad. But I think Alyssa and Indy could hit the block because they're the only non-duo to have no leftovers members in it. Or, and honestly, this would be my smarter option, you put Nicole and Taylor up. If they win the veto, they're off and you put Alyssa and Indy up, you have a backup. Or, I mean, honestly, they both could kind of go interchangeably. But I think either one of those options right now is a possibility because no one wants to be with Nicole. But also, the fact that nobody wants to work with Nicole at this point is a reason to keep her because she's not a threat at the moment to any of their games because she doesn't have the numbers. So I think what they're going to end up doing is going with Alyssa and Indy, but I would not be surprised if Taylor and Nicole hit the block to get out Nicole.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's a smart play too, because Monty and Taylor have obviously had their ups and downs.
Correct.
It kind of covers that up a little.
It does. And I think that that's the strategy. I think that's the mindset. But I am happy that Monty got this HOH because I have been waiting to see Monty's true colors come out. And obviously I have been, in terms of his allegiances, his alliances, and how he can handle a week in power. Because Monty's been someone where I'll be honest with you, I had him as a preseason pick. And then that first week he went down to like number zero for me in terms of likability, in terms of his conduct towards Taylor. I was not having it for Monty. Since his apology to Taylor after finding out that she actually was telling the truth, go figure, I've been able to tolerate him much more. But I'm curious to see how he builds, because they were talking all last night how to build trust with Taylor. How do we solidify this with Taylor? So that's in my head. So it's thinking, we're going to put Nicole and Taylor up on the block, but how do we show Taylor that we've got her? Because if I were Taylor, I'd still be skeptical. I've only been in this alliance for 4 days.
Yeah.
So they got to prove it at this point.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see who ends up on the block.
Yep.
Because yes, that impacts in a great way who plays in the veto, because there's only three pairs play. Well, I guess.
Correct.
With Monty.
Well, yeah, it's still going to be three pairs. I think it's going to be a 7-person veto.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it's going to be like very interesting to see what happens, who wins it, how that impacts this. I think if you want to get either Indy or Alyssa out, putting them on the block seems like an easy choice because they probably won't win the veto. So they would probably just stay on the block.
It just sucks for me though, because it just sucks because even though I'm not a huge fan of Alyssa or Indy's gameplay, because I don't think either one of them have really done anything significant at all, I do think they would be objective jurors. So I'm sad that like, that's their move right now. We're like in my head, when I was talking to Tiff, I completely agree with her. I would get Jasmine out this week because Jasmine has influence. She almost got out of being an HOH last night because of an ankle injury she got 3 weeks ago. Like the girl's got sway, and I would not want her in jury because if she's against me, I'm not getting any votes because Jasmine's about to taint the whole jury. I would be putting Jasmine and Turner up and sending Jasmine out the door. That would be my move because Jasmine has the influence.
That's interesting. And we've got what? So three people are out.
Two more weeks of pre-jury. That's it, which sucks because I would rather there be like 6 more weeks of pre-jury and then have a jury of 4.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't really want Nicole in jury.
Nope.
Or Danielle.
Nope.
Or Jasmine.
Or Jasmine or Alyssa.
Or Alyssa. Yeah.
So I need 4 more weeks of pre-jury. I need them to only have a jury of 7 people.
Yeah. Can we do that? We can change that. Just this one time.
Please. No.
Oh my gosh.
But it's very, very interesting. Like I said, I think Monty can use his power for good. I'm excited to see how this week goes. I'm curious to see who he's going to put up. But also, I would be... I mean, they also now kind of have a reason to nominate Indy and Alyssa, because Indy, I don't know if you saw the HOH, how people got picked for have-nots last night, but Indy was like, oh, Brittany, it's your turn. And Brittany goes, it's Michael's birthday on Monday. You're going to make him be a have-not? And Indy goes, but Brittany, it's your turn. And Brittany goes, but if I'm a have-not, so is Michael. And it's Michael's birthday on Monday. And Indy goes, well, what? And then Jasmine's like, well, I can't be a have not because of my foot and because I can't get up them stairs. I don't know what she said, but then it was something about her foot and also the accent that goes in and out every 5 minutes. But then they ended up picking Jasmine and Turner as the have nots anyways.
Good.
I'm glad about that. Thank God.
Oh my God. Because of her foot?
Because of her foot.
What does that have to do with not eating slop?
Has nothing to do with the price of tea in China. But she'll make an argument for it.
Oh my gosh. Where did they get these people?
I don't know. You know what? It's funny because I've been having so many people on my lives talk about like casting more super fans than recruits. And I mean, I couldn't agree with that more. I think that when you cast a super fan who knows the game, you're just going to get a better, well thought out result. And you see that in the person who's playing the best strategic game so far, which is Michael. Like Michael is by far above the pack in terms of strategic gameplay, in terms of his positioning in the house, him. And then the dark horse of the season, in my opinion, being Kyle. I think Kyle is also so well positioned in this house. I don't think that either one of them have really made any issues. The only thing is that Kyle's in a little bit of water with the girls, but Michael's not even in water with them. He voted up to get Amira out and they were like, oh my God, Michael, what do we do? And I was like,
yeah, it's so true. That is so true. Like, I think about that all the time. Like, I mean, you were saying too, like 10,000 people apply to be on this show. Most of them are super fans.
Correct.
And we've got casting DMing people on TikTok and Instagram to apply when they could just go through the submissions of the people who want to be on this show.
Correct.
And if you are going through making a tape, doing all the things that it takes to be on the show, you probably really want to be there.
Correct.
And so it would be fun just to test it out if we did a whole season of super fans.
Yeah.
And watched what happens and them not know. So we could see some of them try to cover up that they're super fans. Some of them act like they're recruits. That could be really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I think we would get better gameplay. We would get more respectful people. We would get people who, like you said, know the line of personal and game because they watch the game. So they're going to backstab and they're going to do all this stuff, but they're going to not cross that line.
Correct.
And then when they get out, they're not going to be mad because again, they know the game. So it's not going to be a bitter jury. It's not going to be any of those things because they all know that it's game.
Correct.
And it would be fun. All the things that I think people complain about that I see on Twitter and other platforms, Reddit, whatever, the things that people mostly complain about BB seasons kind of all go back to, well, these people just don't really know what Big Brother is.
Yep.
And it would be great to see people who
knew what Big Brother was.
And we had a lot of that last year. I mean, there were more super fans than ever last year. A few recruits, but a lot of people who loved and knew the game.
Yep.
And I think that that made it better.
Oh, 100%. Because it made every decision intentional.
Yeah.
It made every decision very, very calculated, very interesting. No, I 100% agree with you, but I also, it's interesting because then like you think about it, like they have to cast a reality TV show. Sure. But like, is the casting more important than the people who know the game? I guess that's the debate.
Yeah.
Like is the image of the season in terms of the image of the cast members more important than the game's content?
It's a great question. And yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I know what I think.
But, I also know what I think. Yeah.
But I at the end of the day, yeah, it is really interesting. People get really invested in this show. And it is really interesting to then realize like it's a TV show.
It is a TV show. And I've even thought too, and this has been an interesting thought, because obviously we go to a lot of the premiere parties and things like that. And people were actually asking me, they're like, Brittany, what are you going to do when you meet this cast in person? And I was like, huh, I do have to go meet them in person at some point. Well, my answer to that currently was, I will say hi to the leftovers and I will book it. And I will book it in the opposite direction because my whole thing with this season two, and this is where I think that the super fan aspect of it is so important, is because there has been a very frequent conversation in the house about influencing. I don't know if you've heard anything about like the conversations, but so many of the house guests are coming in with these predetermined wants about being an influencer and brands they want to work with and things like that. And what I went on Big Brother, I'm going to be very honest with you. Like, I had a TikTok following already. I was doing a little bit of branding on the side, nothing major by any means, but like I was doing branding ish, but that was never like, oh, I'm going to come out of Big Brother and I'm going to be an influencer because that's the only reason why I want to do this game. It's just so weird to like have people worry more about like what's going to happen after this experience than living in the experience itself. Does that make sense?
No, 100%. I've talked about that on this podcast. I get so frustrated as a fan of the show, watching people do it for the blue check, for the next show, for the next thing. And I think one of the comments that was made a lot last year when the cast was revealed was, wow, look at all these people with jobs. Look at all these people. You're a teacher. Hannah wants to go to med school. Tiffany's a phlebotomist. Look at all these people who do things and just like Big Brother and want to play Big Brother and then go back to their normal life.
Yeah. I will say too, that has been a point of contention with our season. I will say, and something that the BB community is very hard on you about when you walk out, is like, I get asked every single live, are you still a teacher? Every single live, I still get asked it, because it's a lot of times when you go on Big Brother and you come off the show, you quit your job or you have to because of the 3 month time period or things like that. I get asked all the time to validate my job status. And I'm like, this never happens when you do anything else in life. But if you go on Big Brother, that is one of the number one questions I get is, are you still a teacher? And my answer is always, yep, we still teach kids. My passion still exists. Thank you very much. But like, I've honestly seen people who have quit their jobs, do other things. They've gotten a lot of hate for it. Like, it's been very weird. And I'm like, why? Like, that's the other side of the culture is like, oh, that's great that everyone has jobs. But then if you don't have a job, they rip on you for it. It's a very, very weird dichotomy essence that works in the BB community. Very weird.
Yeah, that is interesting. I guess it's maybe the... I don't know. I mean, that is so interesting.
Because even like when we were traveling around, like think of like when we were all traveling around to like Tampa for Halloween and Philly for Derek's birthday, they all asked us, don't you guys have jobs? Don't you guys have work? Aren't you guys missing this stuff to be here? Like whenever we go on a trip, they always ask us, don't you guys have work? And I'm like, well, now half my work's on here.
Yeah. And woo-hoo! Who cares?
Exactly. That's my other thing is like, and I tell people all the time, I'm like this, even this summer, people are like, how do you go to Disney so often? I'm like, I'm on summer vacation. And they're like, well, how do you have the money? I save my money. I don't spend it. I don't buy anything for myself besides plane tickets and Disney tickets. That's what I'll spend my money on. Some people like food. Some people like shopping at Zara. I mean, I do too. Some people like clothes. I like Disney World. We all have our things with the money on.
And that's fine. And if you fall into like, oh, I was on a show and now I'm an influencer, it's like, whatever. That's like kind of a natural path and it just happens.
And that's not something that like, even for me though, I mean, I can only speak on myself. That's something that I never even expected for myself though. Like that was something that kind of, it was weird. It almost fell into my lap in a really weird way. Like I got one and then I got the next one. And then I had brands managers reaching out to me and it was like something that I never expected or intended to do, but it's also given me the opportunity now to work with some really cool companies. And I love doing it now because I get to share their message in my own way. Like I get to share their creativity and their brand and their mission in my style, which is fun, but continue. I'm sorry. I just wanted to put that out there.
No, that's great. I guess it's just like for like seeing that is like more fun for me, probably for other fans than watching people apply for the show to become that.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And I think
that's where it gets frustrating. Like,
correct.
And we saw this happen with this season in particular. I mean, the guy who ended up getting caught for being on another show or something, 500,000 followers on Instagram. I think that was the most followers any house guest would have had coming into the house besides like Frankie Grande.
Correct.
And like Alyssa already had like a K beside her number, Paloma, maybe Jasmine definitely was like an influencer type. Like, it was just interesting to see so many in one season.
Yep.
And it worried me that like, oh no, are we setting a new bar for like the cast of Big Brother, that you go on this show because you already have started building a following, and by the time you get off, you'll have the blue check and you'll be right on your way to Hollywood or whatever. Yeah.
No, I agree. And Marvin was interesting to me because I've heard rumors of him being on so many different shows. I know now he's on The Circle.
What?
Yeah, Marvin's on The Circle. If I'm not mistaken, I'm almost 99% sure I saw that Marvin is on the next season of The Circle. I don't even know.
He is a TV fiend.
But no, like, I mean, for me, like, I had like, what, 6,000 going into the Big Brother house on Instagram, but that was only because I had a TikTok following and people decided to follow me on Instagram too. Like, that was literally why that happened. But I mean, on our season, I think Alyssa was the only person that had a K next to their following at all. I think everybody else didn't. Obviously DX is the biggest following in our group, but he had like 800 followers when he started. But like this season, it was like Alyssa had like 55, Jasmine had a following, Paloma was in the K's, Marvin had that many, like everyone had a following. Or not everyone, but a good amount of people.
Good amount of them.
Kyle had 500,000 on TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting because it's like, it doesn't make it feel like a norm. Like, I don't know. I feel like when you watch the show, it feels like it ruins the integrity of the game to have people who know that when they get out, they're going to be contacted by an agent or a manager to manage brand deals and send them whatever. And it also feels like, and maybe this is now for the best, which they aren't really even doing, which is kind of funny, that they monitor what they say to then, you know, go down the line and whatever. And we've kind of seen Daniel have this moment where he's like, oh, does it look bad that I put two black people on the block? Does it look bad? Da, 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 da. And it's like, well, why would you think that if A, you like, if you think it's bad, obviously, if you're saying that out loud, and B, if you are saying that, it's because you think someone else is going to think that's bad.
Correct.
And who is that? The people who are going to hire you to be Elvis at their birthday party? Like, what? Who are you worried about? Like,
oh my God. Yes. I'm sorry. I can't with Daniel. Daniel is like zero in my book.
I'm just like, it's funny because it's like, to me, that's like, you know, you're doing something wrong if you're like calling it out and saying, is that bad? Like, it's always like your friend who's like, oh, no offense, but, and then they say something very offensive. It's like, you already knew that that was not the right thing to say. Like, and, but it doesn't feel like they're worried about it from the perspective of like, oh, am I hurting someone's feelings? It looks like they're worried about it from like a PR perspective.
Well, yeah. Cause they all want the deals.
Yeah. And it's, that is just not, especially for a show so obsessed, like the fans are so obsessed with the show. Correct. It's like so sad to have people like that on a season because we all get so invested. We love it. We love this game. We want to see them strategize and play and what they're going to do next. And for them to just be like, oh, well, I'm really only here so that I can get paid more later down the line doing another show, or I'm here so that I can do the challenge or whatever. It's like, be here for Big Brother. Go do the challenge.
Like Nicole saying yesterday, oh my God, I'll see you on Amazing Race. I'm like, go play Big Brother.
Yes, exactly that. And also she was second boot. So they're probably not asking her to do Amazing Race. Just saying, but whatever. I'm like, at least make it to jury. Come on.
Don't make no sense to me. But I heard that comment and I was like, wow. Okay, Nicole. Okay.
I know from a production standpoint, they were probably very upset that she said that. because A, that's not this show. Like, that's just like, so in my mind, disrespectful to be like, oh yeah, like I wish I was actually doing another show, or I'm only doing this as like a gateway to do another show. It's like, ugh, that just feels icky, especially so early. Like, I get it if you're in like the top six and you're best friends with someone and you're, you know, you got 2 weeks left in the house and you're like, oh my God, like it'd be so fun to play another game with you. But now it just feels weird.
Uh-huh. 100%. It is weird.
Because it is weird.
Oh
my gosh. Well, thanks for hopping on and
rehashing
this week, this crazy week in the house. It was fun. Whenever
you want me on, you know I'm here.
Oh, I know. I love that. I'm so excited. I love obviously talking game with you, just talking with you in general. This was so fun. And yeah, I'll hit you up. We can do it again.
Let's do it.
See you later.
Bye. Love you.
I love you.
Bye.